Explosive Aviation Growth in Asia is for Real. A few minutes with Keith Markley. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. We're here at Peter O. Knight Airport in Tampa, Florida, at AOPA Summit 2009, talking with Keith Markley, who is the president and CEO of Liberty Aerospace. And Liberty has a trainer called the XL2, which is carving out a niche worldwide as an institutional two-seat training aircraft. We're here to kind of get an update and talk about the world of aviation in general. And Keith, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Thanks, Paul. And as usual, always good to see you. And we're glad to be here at AOPA's show this year. And as you know, pretty excited about the fact that the training market internationally has been growing. And, you know, obviously the XL2 is being well received because that has become our niche market.
Let's talk about that market and that niche, because there seem to be a lot of people who would have aircraft that would seem on the surface to be suitable for it. How are things going for you, and what is making your aircraft competitive?
As you know, Paul, the thesis of the XL2 since its very beginning has been cost of operations and ease of maintenance. Also, if you add to that the fact that the wings are designed to be easily detachable from the airplane, it really makes us the low-cost provider for many of these flight schools. Also, with Liberty, one of our key strategic focuses has always been on getting the airplane certified in many countries worldwide, and at this point, we're certified in over 50 countries. So we're finding the Southeast Asia market just to be the booming market for us, and primarily in the flight training industry.
Now, flight training, I don't really know how to gauge how that market reacts to an economic environment like we have now. I know it would seem that training is going to have to keep going on regardless of whether they're selling aircraft this year to recreational and business users. How has the training market graphed out economically over the last couple of years compared to how general aviation in general has done?
Well, first of all, while we've been experiencing a very difficult economic time here in the U.S., anybody that spends any time in Asia can see that things are very, very different there. You obviously have the issues of market growth, but with the huge populations and the growth of transportation in Asia, the airlines there are training pilots. And the training scenario is very different in Asian countries than it is in the U.S., where in the United States, essentially people in many cases self-teach and compete for jobs. In most of the Asian countries, cadets are selected at a young age and go through their training environment there, being selected early on. And so we're seeing a growth in flight schools in Asia and obviously a buildup of aircraft there. And we're winning that business now.
How is the plane being received in terms of some of the design decisions you made, composite construction, Continental engine, all that stuff?
Well, in many of these countries, certification is paramount. And so being a Part 23 FAA certified is really still a standard worldwide. And in fact, in some countries, you become certified in that country purely by becoming Part 23 FAA certified. And then certain countries, you have to go through, all of the steps. But in our case, they're so similar to the FAA steps that, that's just one of the core issues. And then, coming back to the theme that I talked with before, cost of fuel, so the low fuel burn rate of the XL2, ease of maintenance, and really, frankly, students like the way the airplane looks and feels. And so there's that sort of wow factor also with the students. We're finding it well received. And in fact, we know that certain schools that have bought and put our airplane into use have started to affect their competition. And so as a result, that's driving more and more sales.
My guest is Keith Markley of Liberty Aerospace. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Platt. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to AOPA Summit. Paul Plack here with Keith Markley of Liberty Aerospace, talking about the XL2 and its variants and how they're doing in the world. And I guess one of the questions I didn't want to get away without asking you, because you're in a unique position to address this. Over the past few years, we saw a lot of fascinating looking projects, leaps and bounds into the future of aerospace that were dependent on offshore funding that dried up suddenly. You guys have kind of been there, fought that battle, and you're still standing. What does it take to make that kind of scenario work out as a product developer?
Well, of course, in the aviation business in general, there's a level of passion that almost everybody brings to this business. So I like to think the folks at Liberty Aerospace have passion. But we know that passion alone is not enough to get the job done. And the core to success of Liberty has been what we would call realistic business planning, utilizing people that have been there and done it before. So when you look at our investor base, who has been tremendously supportive of the company, we agree on realistic business plans, realistic milestones, and we achieve those business plans and milestones, as opposed to creating dream projects that are based on unsupportable numbers that eventually just collapse a couple of years into the investment scheme. So if you look at our goals next year, we believe they're completely realistic. And do not have some huge increase in sales, just incremental supply of our existing customer base. And our investors accept that as realistic, and we're confident that we'll achieve those goals.
Let's talk, since you brought it up, specifically about those goals. What does Liberty Aerospace hope to achieve in the next couple of years?
Well, really, we have what we consider to be our core business, which is the sale of the XL2 to as many developing markets as we possibly can. And that'll remain the core business for which we build and design our business plan. In addition to that, Liberty Aerospace possesses some very, very unique capabilities and certifications regarding building primary structures from carbon fiber. And we're leveraging those to venture into some new projects. There are a couple of projects which I can't discuss because they're under NDA, but obviously one of the projects is the letter of intent that we've signed with Farnborough Aircraft to jointly work with them for the development and the manufacture of the Kestrel single-engine turboprop, which is here today at the show.
Well, we're going to take a look at that with AeroTV and talk to those guys as well. What would you say in closing about the XL2 and its variants to people in the States who maybe aren't in the training market who are looking at a two-seat aircraft?
Well, when you look at owning an airplane, one of the constant things that we all that are especially aviation enthusiasts do is we often look and try to find the biggest airplane we could possibly buy for a certain price. But those of us that have owned and operate airplanes know it's really about the cost of operations, not how big of an airplane can you buy for a dollar. So I think it's not surprising that most of the people we sell the airplanes to as private individuals in the U.S. usually end up being people that have owned multiple airplanes and understand it's all about cost of operations.
And what about the XL2? Once you get, you're just a slight step above the LSA market. What is it about the XL2 that makes it a great deal in that area?
Well, when you say a slight step above the LSA market, we really see the LSA market as a very, very different market than what we're into. I mean, as a Part 23 IFR certified aircraft, it has a very wide range of acceptability worldwide, but it's also the type of airplane where you can flight plan a true IFR trip to somewhere 400-500 nautical miles away and know that you're flying in something that's HRF protected and designed to the absolute newest Part 23 certification standards. So we really do see our audience is quite different than the LSA market.
How does it feel to be somewhat of a composite pioneer? I mean, you guys went through some uncertainty in some people's minds about whether this was a viable form of construction, and you seem to have proved that pretty convincingly.
Well, the business with carbon fiber and building primary structures with carbon fiber is much more difficult than I think some people understand. And achieving the certifications to do it is much more difficult than I believe the average person entering the industry would understand, because we have had to develop the standards by which the FAA measures structural integrity. Well, now that's an asset of the company because we own those proprietary standards. And so, when we look at developing or working with other companies, they have to make a choice. Either they invest in developing those standards, the tens of millions of dollars we've spent, or they can partner with a company like Liberty and leverage our standards.
Hint, hint. Well, if someone wants more information about the aircraft, what's the website?
We're libertyaircraft.com, so it's www.libertyaircraft.com.
Keith, good to see you still out here after all these years of banging away at the rocks, and I hope to see you here next year.
Well, Paul, it's good to see you, too. I mean, this is actually part of the fun part of the business, so always happy to run into you at a show.
Over the next few days, you'll hear more from AOPA Summit. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.